Long time no see. Good morning, Colonial Heights.
Good morning.
I thank your pastor for allowing me to be here today. I think he felt sorry for me. I was supposed to preach for him earlier in the year, and that particular need to be away got changed, and so I didn't get to be here. So he may have felt sorry for me, and then again, he may have wanted to take a break, and I understand that. Well, it's good to see you all. It really is. This morning, going to do something a little bit different. We're going to chase a lot of scriptures this morning. We've got a springboard text because I want to focus on the fact that we're about to start a new year. But I want you to understand it is a springboard text. All these points come out of scripture, and there are many, many scriptures we could go to today to give us a better understanding of how to make next year the best year of our life, at least the best year that we've ever had. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles with you or your device or however you look up your scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you're well aware of this scripture verse. I'm not going to ask you to stand because it's just this one simple verse. You'd be up and down. That may wake some of you up, though. But that's all right if you go to sleep. I'm going to sort of give you an outline here, and that way if you do, maybe if you wake up at the end of it and someone says, what was it about, you can tell them a little bit of it. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, therefore, if any man, mankind is what he's referring to here. This is not just limited to men, of course. Men, women, boys, girls, those who believe. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. If you're glad today that God is into new things, would you say amen?
Amen.
I am grateful that God is into the new. Now, you probably got some Christmas gifts this year at Christmas time, and you got some new stuff. Well, I got news for you. That new stuff will not be new for very long. It will become old stuff, and it will pass away. But the new thing that Christ has done is never going to pass away. We are new in Him. He's done a new thing, and I'm grateful that God's into the new, and we're about to start what we call a new year. And Dave, I want to say a personal word of thanks to you for taking care of the screens and all the stuff. I've worried that poor man to death this week. C.S. Lewis once wrote, what a sorry world it would be if it were always winter, but never Christmas. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. What if all we had to look forward to once winter came was just winter time until we got to spring? What if there was nothing in there that really pumped us up and gave us something to look forward to and to live for? And Christmas does just that. And I believe that's exactly the reason that the early church chose that date to celebrate His birth. The chill of December has been alleviated by the warmth of the celebration that we've just celebrated. But now here's a corollary to that. What a sad life it would be if it were always the old year and never the new year. Now, time does not know the divisions that we give it. It is mankind that rings bells and blows horns and throws confetti and shoots off fireworks at what we call the beginning of a new year. Time is irrelevant to God in that He is timeless. What seems like a long time to us means nothing to Him. The new year is at hand in just 4 days. Can you believe that 2025 is already gone? I can't. And I'm here to tell you, Jason, it's going to start going faster and faster and faster. Take my word for it. It's the truth. So we ask ourselves, what's this new year going to mean to me? What can I do in it? These are the thoughts which come naturally to us at the end of each year. And some of us make resolutions, and those resolutions might make it till the end of January, and it may make it further than that. But seldom do they make it all the way to the end of the year. We cannot know what the future holds. We do know this. It will largely be what you and I and God make of it in 2026. A long time ago, Ralph Waldo Emerson expressed what ought to be the desire of each one of us. He said, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year." Therefore, what can you and I do to make every day the best day in 2026? Well, I've got some suggestions for you. There are a myriad of ways to make it a great year. This morning, I'm going to share with you six of those ways that I believe that we can help to make it the best year we've ever had in 2026. First of all, we should live one day at a time. When the new year comes in, you may be looking forward to a particular date in January or February or whenever your birthday is, or anniversary, or Mother's Day, Father's Day, you name it, we've got all these celebrations. 4th of July, boy, that's getting right over into the middle of the year, isn't it? We ought to live one day at a time. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Truth of the matter is, it's the only day you got. Tomorrow's not here. Yesterday's gone. Today's it, folks. So we've got to make the best of today. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, "Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." Each day will take care of itself, Jesus said. Stan Getz, I don't expect you to know who he was, but he was an outstanding jazz saxophonist. He had a life-threatening bout with cancer at one point in his life, and in a radio interview several years later, he was asked, "What did you learn from this illness?" And Stan said, "I learned that life is not a dress rehearsal." Folks, you're not in a dress rehearsal. This is the only one you're going to get. There are no second chances. There are no do-overs. I don't care what Shirley MacLaine, many of you remember her, the actress, she believed that you were going to be reincarnated. You were going to come back. I'm sure glad that's not true, because I can only imagine what I'd come back as with the bad karma that we've created in life. I don't care what she says. You don't get a do-over. You don't get another chance. Time can't be saved. Time can only be savored. Do you know why you take pictures? And why you have memory books? Because you are savoring the time that is now past. The psalmist must have had this in mind when he said, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Some people live in the past, weighted down with the mistakes and the failures, or the things they considered to be better back then, yesterday. Others live in expectancy, always looking for something in the future. Now, there's nothing wrong with having something to look forward to. As a matter of fact, I encourage you to have something to look forward to. Always have something out there that you're grasping for, but you can't live in the future because it's not here yet. You can't live in expectancy. You've got to live today. You know, living one day at a time means keeping yourself responsive to simple things. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may hold." We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For most of life, there are not nearly as many wonderful things as we would like for there to be. Every day's not a mountaintop. Every day's not to be relished because something grand happened. You see, for most of us, life is not big moments. It's a whole bunch of small ones. It's the small things in life that really matter. If your happiness or unhappiness is based on some major event, like, well, for instance, a great job or gaining huge amounts of money or having a flawless marriage, getting a trip to Paris, or you're not going to be happy most of the time. As a matter of fact, you're going to be disappointed most of the time. On the other hand, if your happiness depends on having a good breakfast, flowers in the yard, a brisk walk, or taking a nap, which I seem to like more and more, then we're more likely to live with quite a bit of happiness in this life. Paul put it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So maybe the motto of our life ought to be, learn from yesterday, hope for tomorrow, but live today. Do you know why time seems to pass so fast and you can't believe your children are grown? Just the other day, they were babies. You can't believe that you have grandchildren. You can't believe that you're retired after all those years of work. Where did the time go? I think I know. We were so busy living in the moment that we didn't think about the time. If you and I will live the moment, we'll get the most, the best out of it. If we'll do that, this will likely be one of the best years you've ever had in life. Secondly, we should live our life with the end in view. I know that's not a popular thing to talk about. I know we don't like to go by the funeral home and spend time there and chit-chat with the folks there. We begrudgingly go to the funeral home. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The ultimate statistic for each one of us in this life and for everybody who's ever gone before us and everybody who will ever come after us, the statistic is the same. One in one will die. So you and I, every day, are headed in that direction. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then comes the judgment. It goes on to say in James 4:14, do you not know? You don't know what tomorrow will be. For what is your life? It's just a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. If we're wise, we will live each day knowing that there will be an end to it all. We would all do well to pause and think about how we'd like to be remembered when that time comes. How do you want to be remembered when somebody speaks over you at your funeral or comes by and speaks to the family when you're lying in that casket? What do you want them to be able to say truthfully about you? For you see, what you really leave behind is memories. So how do you want to be remembered? Most of us would want to be remembered fondly. We would want to be remembered for having at least influenced in some way the lives of those who care enough to come and speak to our family. So how do you make that happen? Well, you begin by working backward. You start loving, you start serving, you start giving. And that will most likely cause that to happen. Cause people to miss you. cause them to think fondly of you in their remembrances of you. Robert T. Morris said, I hate funerals and will not attend my own if it could be avoided. But it is well for every man to stop once in a while to think of what sort of a collection of mourners he is training for his final event. You see, we're training mourners right now as to how they're going to feel when we're no longer around. If we would take each day and view life that it has an end, it will help make this one of the best years of your life. Number three, we should give ourselves to others. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul said to the church at Galatia, let us do good while we have opportunity. While we have opportunity in this world. You and I right now have opportunity. There's going to come a day when our opportunity is not going to be there. We're not going to feel like it. We're not going to be able to do it. So you've got to take the opportunity as it comes. While we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. I'm going to tell you what. If you're not being good to each other, I doubt you're being very good to anybody outside. And if you're being good to people outside these walls who are not part of your church family, then guess what? They're not going to believe much of what you say about loving in here. So, we need to remember the household of faith is where we begin doing good. Jesus, toward the end of his ministry, met with his disciples in that upper room for the last time in his earthly body before he was resurrected. In that upper room, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, took a basin of water, and he moved among those disciples who had come to that upper room, and their feet, man, their feet were nasty. There was nobody there to clean them, so Jesus washed every one of their feet. When he had finished, he sat down and asked his disciples if they had understood what he had just done. He, the Lord of glory, King of kings, had bowed to wash their dirty, smelly feet. Then he said to them, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, I don't think Jesus was setting an ordinance that we're supposed to wash each other's feet in church. If you want to do that, that's great. Not a problem. It certainly demonstrates humility, but I don't see it as an ordinance. What he's trying to say is, nobody's too good to serve. Jesus came to serve. He died on that cross in service to us. He humbled himself and came in the flesh for us. So we ought to be willing to humble ourselves and to think that, you know, some people think, that's beneath me. I'm better than that. No, Peter found that out. You see, he saw Jesus and he said, you're not going to wash my feet. You're the Lord. You're the master. You're the leader. You're not supposed to be doing this. You ain't going to touch my feet. You know what Jesus said? Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. He said, give me a bath. That's in essence what he said. Wash me all over. Give me a bath. I want to be associated with you. It was just going to be a few hours before he denied him 3 different times. He concluded by saying, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You want to be happy in the new year? Do something for somebody else. Don't wait around for somebody to do something for you. Do something for them. As one writer put it, Jesus knew that happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it flies and it hides from you. But if you will stop and stoop and serve, it will light on you. You know, the happiest people I've ever known in the 50 plus years I've been in the ministry are those who work at being kind and thoughtful and helpful and generous. Happiness will just sneak into your life if you'll do that. You won't be afraid to stop and acknowledge those people in the grocery store. You won't run to hide from them. You know who you run to hide from in the grocery store? The people that are always complaining, always finding fault, always wants to tell you their troubles. Man, if you see those people first, you're going down another aisle. I know. I had people like that. I just had to shun them. You never ask the question, how are you today? That is a terrible question to ask a negative person. They will tell you every problem since the moment they open their eyes and about what has happened in their life. Well, Elizabeth Barrett Browning put it beautifully when she wrote these words. A child's kiss set on by sighing lips shall make thee glad. A poor man served by thee shall make thee rich. A sick man helped by thee shall make thee strong. Thou shalt be served thyself by every sense of service which thou renderest. I agree. In other words, we are best to ourselves when we're good to others. As Jesus was quoted as saying in Acts 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you realize that this past Christmas? Did you get a bigger kick out of giving something than you did getting something? I did. I love to give. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't mind getting either. But it does something for me to be able to give something to someone else. If we will be that way, that will go a long way to making 2026 one of the best years ever in your life. Fourthly, we should learn to forgive and forget. Forget, let go. Let go of it. Let it go. In Isaiah 43:18, we hear the Lord say, and you might want to turn with me there. We'll just do that. We said we was going to chase some scripture this morning. Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Are you holding any grudges? Is there anything in the past that you won't let go of? You see, a person is really what he or she remembers and what he or she forgets. And one of the healthiest habits you and I can create and become the master of is being a good forgetter. Now, I'm not talking about where your keys are or whether or not you took your medicine. Or I'm not talking about that kind of forgetting, although that comes too. It's good to have a good memory, but it's also good to have a good forgetter. I know when someone would come to me for counseling, at first I would take notes. And then I thought to myself, no, I don't need to take any notes. And whenever they leave, because what they shared with me was in confidence, I will do my best to forget it, because if I forget it, I can never repeat it. And I wanted them to be able to trust me that if they shared something with me, it would go no further. And I have to tell you, I've become a pretty good forgetter. I forget a lot of stuff now. As a matter of fact, there are times when I think of something and I think, man, I'll always hang on to that. And the next minute, I can't remember what it was. I don't know what it is. I know what I hope it's not, but I'm not sure what it is. The Apostle Paul gave us part of the secret when he said, forgetting, this is Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But he said, the first thing I do is forget. Now, we're not talking about forgetting. Paul never forgot about his experience with Christ and the Damascus Road. As a matter of fact, he told it over and over again. We can't be sure of everything that Paul had in mind when he said forgetting those things which are behind, but they must have included his failures and his disappointments and the things he had suffered at the hands of others, his successes and his achievements must have included it all. To live a victorious life, you cannot rest on yesterday's laurels. You can't say, wasn't it great in 19 so-and-so or 20 so-and-so when we had this or we did this? Man, I'm proud of you for what you did for Samaritan's Purse. 500 boxes? Man, that's to be celebrated. But you can't rest on that. Next year, you need to do 525 at least. You see, you press on. You don't rest on that. You don't just live for that. You celebrate that and you move on. As someone said, the rewards of life go to those who are willing to give up the past. Anger and bitterness are poison, and they're just as bad as strychnine. So whatever you do, don't drag into the new year your resentments and your hates and your frustrations and your disappointments and your regrets. They'll wear you down. They'll rob you of your joy and they'll ruin your year. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, there can be no joy like peace. There can be no gift like health. There can be no faith like trust. And there can be no sickness like hate. If you want to make this one of the best years of your life ever, then forgive and let it go. It's the only way to live happily. Fifthly, I'm closing in on it now. We should keep a sense of humor. What have you laughed about today? I got up this morning and looked in the mirror and wanted to laugh. How could anything that looked like I did when I got up look like this now? Don't answer that. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to need a lot of medicine in 26. It's okay to acknowledge the clouds of life, but don't forget to see the silver linings. All is not lost. Happiness is always a choice. Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. We especially need to learn to laugh at ourselves. It's okay to to laugh at yourself. Once when Lincoln was engaged in a debate with Frederick Douglass, Douglass accused Lincoln of being two-faced. Lincoln, who was far from handsome, had a classic reply. Lincoln said, "I will let the audience decide for itself. If I had another face, do you think I'd be wearing this one?" It's pretty good, isn't it? But see, he was willing to laugh at himself. So remember, the Bible's prescription is a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Let me tell you, there's some still really good programs on TV. I'm talking about programs from the past. Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith. Man, they'll make you laugh. And there won't be anything in there that's dirty. There won't be anything in there that's unwholesome. Now, you can probably find some of that in modern television today. I don't know. I don't watch them. I watch that most of the time. Or something about old cars, which I enjoy as well. But we need a cheerful heart. A cheerful disposition. So in 2026, cultivate a happy, cheerful disposition, and it will make 2026 one of the best years of your life. We're down to the last one. Can you believe it? Where did the time go? We should put our life in the hand of God. In 2026. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight or direct our paths. Trust in the Lord. Put your hand in the hand of God. In Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah informs us that the Lord said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God still has that plan for His people. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who's in charge of it. We can't see 5 years, 5 weeks, or 5 minutes into the future. Therefore, we make a mistake if we presume that we're going to have all of 2026. The Scriptures remind us, as I mentioned a moment ago in James 14, that our life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and vanishes away. He goes on to say, therefore, instead of saying, I'm going to go here and there and I'm going to do this and that, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, I will go here or there and do this or that. Lewis Haskins wrote these words concerning the new year. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than any light and safer than a known way." There are two great invitations that come from the lips of our Lord. One is found in Matthew 11. "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Life was never intended to be borne by a single yoke. The Lord invites us to yield our lives to Him and let Him share and bear life's loads with us. The second invitation is found in Revelation 3:20. Almost at the end of the last book of the Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That may be two of the greatest invitations in the Bible from the lips of the Lord. So take your hand of faith and put it in his hand of grace, and it will be one of the best years of your life ever. As you do, remember this. You can spend your life any way you like, but you can only spend it once. So in order to make 2026 one of the best years of your life, live one day at a time. Live with a view to the end. Give yourselves to others. Learn to forgive and forget. In other words, let go of. Keep a sense of humor. And put your hand in the hand of God. I want to close this morning with a prayer poem from Helen Steiner Rice. That woman wrote more poetry than anybody I know. Here's what she said. Good morning, God. You are ushering in another day, untouched and freshly new. So here I come to ask you, God, if you'll renew me too. Forgive the many errors that I made yesterday. And let me try again, dear God, to walk closer in thy way. But Father, I am well aware I can't make it on my own. So take my hand and hold it tight, for I can't walk alone. You and I can't walk alone. You see, we are a new creation. He's made all things new. The old has passed away. So put our hand in the hand of God and make 2026 one of the best years ever. Would you join me for prayer? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you most of all for eternal life. Thank you that when all is said and done and this world comes to an end and our life comes to an end, you still have us. You'll be there. You're faithful in your promise. So, Father, as we embark into the unknown, just as we did a year ago at this time, help us to place our hand in yours and to walk in your way, not to lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.